Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
It's your daily companion, indeed. So we're joined this afternoon right here on Radio Pulpit by Oratilwe. She is joining us right here on Heart to Heart this afternoon. In actual fact, joining us for the first time today. Welcome, Oratilwe Mokgashwa. Welcome to Heart to Heart.
Thank you so much. Also, my poor is ulitilwe. Ulitilwe.
Perfect. But I'm like, why am I doing this? Why? You know? Are you good?
I'm very good, my poor. It's so great to be on the show. I'm truly excited for this journey. And I trust that God will use me as a vessel to bring awareness to the importance of personal finance. It is truly my utmost passion, and I'm truly grateful for the platform that you've afforded me.
Oh, we are grateful to have you on board, Saswami. Thank you so much for agreeing to, you know, become a part and parcel of the team. So let's talk, we're talking the importance of an emergency fund, and I mean, we've explored this topic in the past, but it's very important to keep revisiting it, right?
Yes, most definitely, Paul. So yes, you've touched on it. We'll be talking about the importance of an emergency fund and saving for rainy days. Mm. And I'm sure you'll agree with me that the pandemic has demonstrated just how unpredictable life can be. We've all been reminded how quickly our circumstances can truly change. And I think it really pains me because thousands of businesses have been forced to close down and millions have been forced into unemployment. And this is truly heartbreaking. So talking about the importance of emergency funds and revisiting this topic is something that everyone cannot simply afford to avoid talking about anymore. So I think it's imperative for us to think of an emergency fund as a form of personal insurance for your long-term investment. It's literally a savings account for rainy days when life happens. And we all know the saying that failing to plan is simply planning to fail.
Mm.
So let me pause here and ask, do you have an emergency fund? And if you do, how did you manage to set this up and how is it going so far?
So, I mean, this is something I am such a believer in an emergency fund. It's not even fine. I've always had one. And, it's not easy to put it together. But because I work as a freelancer, it's never been an option. You know what I mean? It's never been an option. Because as a freelancer, you're not always guaranteed work. You're not always going to make the same money, you know, every month. You know what I mean? Some months are good, some months are really rough. So in my case, I mean, like you rightfully said, it's essential that everyone has an emergency fund. But in my case, particularly as a freelancer, it's even more important for you to have and keep one.
Yes. 100%, well, I couldn't agree with you. And I know, we all have different circumstances, and that's why personal finance is really personal, you know. And so one should really stick within the financial, goals and financial lane. And so I hope today, Paul, I'll be able to show you and give you some tips in terms of how can one realistically do this. Because, you know, we need to get into the habit of living by this beautiful quote. I absolutely love this quote by Warren Buffett that says, don't save what is left after spending, but rather we need to get into the habit of spending what is left after saving. I'll say it one more time. So, you know, it says, don't save what is left after spending, but rather spend what is left after saving.
And we always want to do it the other way around, eh?
Exactly. That's where the problem is. I think, with Instagram, hashtag, living my best life, hashtag, right? And this is really imperative. And I know I'm also distracted. I also have my temptations. But I've realistically put a financial plan in place. And I've also, as a simple example on Instagram, I've unfollowed a lot of people, a lot of clothing, because clothing is my deepest weakness. So I've started to unfollow just a little bit. You know, maybe I'll stick to two, etc. so that it doesn't derail me. You know, we need to get out of the habit of instant gratification. I want it now. There's the power of just holding on just a little bit longer. So I say this because I've realized, even in my circle of friends, that people do not plan on saving for emergencies, and they end up cashing out on their long-term investments, such as retirement funds,
sure,
to get them through a crisis during a market downturn. And this, unfortunately, could mean selling low and even walking away with less money than you invested. So having an emergency fund in place will help you to avoid this worst-case scenario. You know, emergency funds requires one to ideally save in the short-term investment product, as the aim of the purpose is to preserve capital over the short-term period. So the idea is to have an investment that is easily accessible for those rainy days. So, you know, I know sometimes people are like, yes, please be like, I hear what you're saying. However, how do I then sit down and actually plan for this emergency fund? So I've got a few tips. So number one, it's imperative to have a disciplined approach and keep your hands off your emergency savings. And it's helpful to separate your emergency fund from your day-to-day account to avoid dipping into it.
Right? Important,
So, you know, one should have short, medium, and long-term plans. And in your short, you can have different short-term, you know, plans. So, example, I usually name mine one emergency fund. And if I am, like, I've been saying to some of my colleagues that I'm so exhausted and I'm tired. It's been a beautiful year, but, you know, equally exhausting. So, you know, you plan for holiday. You don't just wake up and say, oh, I'm going to use my credit card and go, you know, splurge, et cetera. You save. So you can have a short-term, you know, investment is ideally for a period shorter than 13 months. So you can save for emergencies and then save for holidays. So it's important to sort of separate these so that you don't, you avoid dipping into your emergency fund, right? Number two, you can automate and set regular debit orders or schedule payments. So it comes off automatically and it removes the pain and admin of doing an EFT every month and more. So I personally hate admin. I don't know about you.
I think we all do.
I honestly, it's one of my pet peeves. And what I've done to help me sort of remove the administrative part of it is that I've set these debit orders going off of my account, because it personally helps me tremendously. And we have the beauty of technology on our side, so why not embrace it, right? And I've also learned to live without that money. So as I set up a tax, like I said, you can set up different types of accounts. So I'll share personally. I have a rainy-day account, right? And then I've got a tax-free investment account for my daughter. So I have a 6.5-year-old daughter who runs my life, as you know how children do.
they are bosses. You can say that again.
Exactly. Mm. So it's important to have our kids, you know, in mind. And, you know, so I set up a tax investment for my daughter with one institution and a retirement fund. So a retirement fund is definitely not an emergency fund, but it's also important to touch on that just a little bit.
Yes.
So I've set up a retirement fund for him as well. And while this might sound crazy, people are like, what? Why would you set up a retirement fund for your child? Because I understand the power of compound interest. Compound interest is, like Albert Einstein once said, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. And he who understands it will earn it. And he who doesn't will pay it. And I say this because it's important to save and plan for future and avoid unnecessary debt. And we need to start planning for those rainy days to enjoy the power of compound interest. And instead of paying compound interest on a credit card, because most people use that as a source of emergency, right? Because this can set us back in a bad way, and we end up paying interest on credit cards to amount of about 19 to even up to 29%. Now, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. So I personally have tried different mechanisms to ensure that I stay and I stick to my financial regime. And I guess everybody that I hear me say, I stay within my budget, you know. And I've also managed to pay off my credit cards. I'm very fortunate and poor during this pandemic. It's been tough. I've lost a lot of family members. But, you know, the pro as well is that with me sort of sitting myself down, I've managed to pay off my credit card, I've managed to pay off my car with my bonus, and redirect, thank you, Paul, and redirect.
Must be so liberating, hey?
It is extremely liberating. You have no idea. And I remember sharing this with my friends, like, next day I'm going to pay off my car. Next day I'm going to, you know, it's okay to shift goals if it doesn't happen in the year in which you wanted to. Mm-hmm. But the whole importance is if you plan towards something, you know. So eventually my friends were like, oh, finally, you didn't say you're going to pay off this car. So, you know, finally it happens. And it afforded me the ability to then redirect those funds towards saving. You know, and one, number three, another important point is that one needs to park the emergency funds in a low-risk investment such as a money market fund, and which aims to deliver returns in short-term periods, and aims to deliver higher returns than normal bank deposits. You know, a lot of us consider, you know, we know money market is, I mean, sorry, fixed deposit, notice account, and call funds, and I'll touch about it a bit later. But there are other instruments such as money market funds, and these are purely in its simplest term. A money market fund is an instrument that is designed to preserve capital and earn some interest in the short-term period, ideally, like I said, shorter than 13 months. And these instruments can be used by governments, parastatals, corporates, as well as banks. Number four, there are different ways of instilling discipline and sticking to your financial goals. And this will afford you the ability to save towards that emergency fund, right? So budget, you know? And a lot of us, I think, we avoid budgeting because it's like looking in the mirror. And sometimes that mirror is not
pretty. It's not pretty. Yeah, it's not pretty. Nope. It's so I think it gets so frustrating sometimes that you, I don't know, and at times you just want to calculate all of these things in your head, which is just not a good idea.
Exactly. But, you know, budgeting can seem daunting, but once you start, it is actually, you will regret why you have started. As a freelancer, get into the habit of looking at your bank statement. Familiarize yourself with expenses.
Yes.
And I completely hear you when you're saying, we don't always get, you know, full-time gigs. So, you know, but that, like you were saying in your statement earlier, that's actually when you actually have to have an emergency fund, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start familiarizing yourself with expenses, you start to draw down a realistic budget. I'm saying being realistic, okay? Type out unnecessary debt. I mean, unnecessary expenses, like eating out every weekend. I am very guilty of this. My daughter wants us to go to a certain restaurant, and I'm like, okay, nana, you know?
Oh, the buses, yeah.
So you can negotiate. You know, you can negotiate with your children and start putting a reward plan in place, you know, and start saying to them, you can earn this. You know, you can earn this as long as, you know, you can say, we can then, and in a month, we go out twice. You know, and you get to choose where we need to go, okay? And then avoid coffees at work. Okay, a lot of us are working from home now, but I know with us, we started the whole hybrid, slowly getting back into work. You know, how could you like to and check your bank statement and look at how much money goes towards coffee, towards silly things? You actually realize that if you spend on a daily basis 100 rand or 50 rand, when you add that up in a week, that's a lot of money.
It's a lot.
You know? And
Even more monthly. Sure.
Exactly. And one is not saying, don't eat. Of course, you all need to eat. But why not pack something? And then maybe in a week, eat out twice if you're at work. But in that week, you then have a healthy, you know, pack something healthy at home, etc. And another thing is avoiding unnecessary bad debts, like clothing accounts. Like I said earlier, I'm a sucker for shoes. I'm a sucker for nice things. I love shoes, but I absolutely love it. However, and I'm not saying to be unrealistic. I think that's why people pull off a budget sometimes, is that they set unrealistic goals. Put it in there, you know, instead of having a clothing amount of, I don't know, like I'm sucking of 700 rand, rather limit that to 400 rand to gift yourself, you know. Do you really have to do your nails every month? You know, if maybe your hair is something that's important, then yes, that you know, but I have to do this on a monthly basis. But other unnecessary things, they can be avoided. And I can tell you, by taking those little expenses, they amount to something, and that's the money that you can be redirecting towards your savings and an emergency fund. So I think what I'm trying to say is that personal finance is there's no hard and set rule around doing this. But ideally, financial advisors encourage their clients to build an emergency fund that is enough to cover at least 3 to 6 times their monthly expenses. And if you're self-employed, you may consider saving even more. So, you know, your emergency fund should buy you enough time to manage and recover from the crisis. There are different types of short-term investments available in Paul. I mentioned earlier on there are fixed deposits. These are offered by banks, and they allow you to deposit a lump sum of money into an account in order to yield that return, that rate of interest as compared to your savings account. And the deposit can be made for a specific range, ranging from about 7 to 30 days to even 10 years, you know, a fixed deposit. But, and then you've got notice accounts. Notice accounts, as the name suggests, is a notice account that requires you to notify the savings provider in advance every time you want to make a withdrawal. So the idea is that in return, you would get a higher interest rate than you would in a normal call account, an easy savings account, right? And then we've got unit trusts. So, I mean, unit trusts, the beauty of unit trusts is that you have access to a diversification of a basket of assets. In simple terms, a unit trust is a collective investment scheme that provides easy and affordable access to financial markets. Your money is combined with the money of other investors and investment managers, and they use this pool of money to buy underlying investments such as equities, so equities are like shares, and other underlying investments like bonds, cash, property, and depending on the unit trust, depending on the unit trust objective. So, you know, the unit trust is split into equal portion called units, and that is allocated to you according to the amount of money that you have invested and the price of the units on the day you buy them. So when you have a unit trust, it takes about 3 to 5 working days for the money to reflect into your account if you want to withdraw. So that can also be used as a form of an emergency, right? And then lastly, you've got also the beauty of money market instruments. So a money market instrument, I think I touched on this earlier, that it's a low-risk investment with a short-term period of shorter than 13 months. And these instruments, yes, I did touch on this. I'm not actually going to go into this into any further. But in conclusion, I can go on and on about personal finance and the importance of saving for rainy days, because COVID has truly showed us that we simply can't live without an emergency fund. So in conclusion, it's important to remember that it's not your spending that makes you rich, it's your spending habits.
Yeah.
You know, often people say, if I had a little bit more money, I'd be able to save. Or if I had a little bit more money, I'd be able to do this. But I kid you not, Nicole. Say you earn X amount of a salary, right? And then you get promoted. Now, Paul wants to go buy a new pass. Paul wants to go buy. And I'm not saying don't buy these things. All I'm saying is that plan. You know, plan. Stay within your financial lane. Delayed gratification will pay you later in life. So, you know, sometimes it's not about how much you earn, but it's how you utilize the money that you earn. And I'm not naive in saying that, guys, it's rough. And yes, we do need more money. But I'm saying with what you've been blessed by God at the moment, use it and use it to the best way that you can. You should think of your emergency fund as a moving target. As your income and expenses are likely to change over time, your emergency fund should be regularly reevaluated alongside your broader financial plan to ensure that it remains sufficient for your needs. So, you know, when reviewing the status of your emergency fund, you will need to take factors such as inflation and lifestyle, as I indicated earlier. Inflation and lifestyle keep into account to accommodate your changing circumstances. So, in short, make your savings, your emergency fund, that you can fund for your current lifestyle. Otherwise, you may be left out of pocket. Mm. And remember, you know, money speaks only one language. If you save me today, I will save you tomorrow.
Sure. That's it. I like that. Say it again. Say it again. We need to do a promo.
If you save me today, I will save you tomorrow.
Makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
Makes absolute sense. Ulitiwe, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your contribution. You've certainly learned a lot this afternoon. Thank you. How do we get a hold of you?
People can get a hold of me on my personal email account. That is ulitiwe@gmail.com. Let me spell that out. It's oletilwe@gmail.com. Then we can set up, you know, some time where we can chat, etc. And I can delve deeper into this because I personal finance is my absolute passion. I was raised by teachers in Paul, and they did their best. Mama and Papa did their best to raise us. But, you know, money was a taboo at home. We never talked about money.
Yeah.
I grew up seeing my mom cutting up credit cards. My mom was very prudent with money, by the way. But I think from a young age, I observed and I saw how Mama would get trapped into credit cards and get trapped into, and she would cut them up, you know, these keywords for Sydney, credit cards and all that, you know. and there's nothing wrong with those retailers at all. But I think, you know, people, we need to really just delay gratification. So that's my
plan. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so, so much. Ulitiwe, really appreciate it. Let's engage again next week, same time, right here on Heart to Heart. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and Paul, have a beautiful day.
You too.
The search continues for top quality South African Christian music. If you are a new artist or releasing a new CD, then send it to Radio Pulpit. For more information, please visit the Radio Pulpit website. That's www.radiopulpit.co.za. Or phone us during office hours, 012 334 1200. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
If you need prayer, please send your request to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za or WhatsApp 067-429-7564 or go to Radio Pulpit website on www.radiopulpit.co.za.
In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit, download the Bible to your cell phone, read Word for Today, and you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za, especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.